Greetings and welcome to The Thirsty Mage, the podcast whose backlog grows ever larger with every passing summer sale. I'm your host, someone who needs a parental lock on the Steam store page, David Lloyd. And this episode we'll be talking about some of the games we're playing at the beginning of summer if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, or the games you've been playing in the dead of cold nights if you're in the South. Joining me is someone who's officially going to be promoting Pikmin for the rest of her life. It's Paige Chamberlain.
I got really confused when I read that because I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I guess it depends what kind of shirt you're wearing, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not really a crop top person, so.
Yeah. So I guess most of the promoting will just be within your house.
Yeah. It's better than my other tattoo, which is like middle of my back. So this one I can show off a lot easier because I just like t-shirt pull up and not like.
Yeah. Well, it's much easier for you to see this one, I presume, than the one on your back. So.
Oh, it's about the same. Like, I always think it's on the other side because when you're looking in the mirror, you're turning like your head around that way to look at.
It was funny when you sent me the picture or sent us the picture on the Slack. I was thinking to myself, I was like, I don't know if I've liked something enough for that amount of time to put something like put a tattoo on. I feel like if I got a tattoo, I'd probably be like 5 years later wondering why I did it or becoming bored of it. Or something.
I feel with something like Pikmin or like Kirby, if there's never another good game, which I mean, 4 will be good, but you know, it doesn't matter. It's just a cute little guy.
Yeah. You know?
But definitely, this is my first time getting like a fiction thing, and I definitely wouldn't get anything if the story wasn't finished. Like, you know, One Piece or something like that, like, because, you know, maybe that character's evil. Maybe that evil character was good, and the name why you like them is just, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, be careful.
But yeah, something, just a cute little Pikmin, I feel, that's fine. You know? Yeah.
If I had to pick something, I'd probably go with the lion symbol from Final Fantasy VIII, like the medallion that Squall wears on his as a necklace. It's like a little lion's head with like a arrow underneath.
Yeah, I don't think there's too many symbols in games that or like fiction that I like. Oh no, that's pretty like a common choice for me. It's like now that I've gotten a proper color tattoo, I'm sort of thinking this. Oh, I could, you know, get like, you know, this or that, but I have no idea where I'd want it because yeah. You know, I'm not really. For now, anyway, I don't have any ideas for, like, anything, like, a sleeve or anything. Like, part of my arm will be at some point, because there's one tattoo I got delayed with pregnancy and stuff, and I've already been to Adelaide, so it's like, this year, it's going to probably be next year again anyway, because I have to travel for it, which makes it a lot more expensive.
Should get a big master sword on the back of your calf?
No, I've seen some sword ones on my, but now I've already got 2 things on my back, so like some of the other ideas I had was like would be like the whole back I can't do because I've already got smaller things.
Which you should get is it I'm trying to think of which Yakuza character has the great big tiger that's like leaping off their back.
Probably, I don't know, is that Kiryu's one? I don't know, there's a lot.
He's it might be Kiryu. I get them confused because they all have, they're all tattooed up pretty good.
One, so. One big one. Yeah, no, because my back's already partly taken up now. So
yeah.
I know I actually had to, I'm like, oh, now I have to put one of the tattoos I've got an idea for isn't until I'm done having kids because it's around partway through stomach and hips. So it just starts to get stretched out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to put that on the other side now because it would go over the top of the Pikmin now. But like, there's no reason it can't be on this side. It was just where I was imagining it being. So, but plenty of time. Like, you know, I might get one or two in the next year and then there'll be another big gap. So,
yeah. It's always good to plan those things.
Well, yeah. It's funny because normally I'm used to having massive waiting lists and this tattoo I actually had the idea, and then it was done within a month of the idea, like to the day.
Okay.
Like I made a tweet of like, you know, this guy is a tramp stamp on like June 8th, and then I got the tattoo July 8th.
Oh, jeez.
Whereas normally it's like my first tattoo I had to wait 9 months to get. And then
9 months?
And then this other one, her waiting list isn't like too crazy, but I had to put it back because I got pregnant and was breastfeeding and now I have to travel. But, you know, yeah, usually you wait a few months with tattoo artists, whereas, I guess, yeah, this local one, Well, yeah, I asked him and it was like booked it within 2 weeks of asking. So,
oh, that's good.
It was, yeah, a lot more sudden.
Got them at the right time, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Popular tattoo artists usually, yeah, you have to wait a bit.
Yeah.
But that helps, you know, make sure that you're sure, I suppose.
Well, we're, like I said, I'm in the dead of summer. You're in the beginning of winter. Too bad we can't merge our temperatures to something much more reasonable. I'm yeah, melting away and you're freezing. And it's
what's your temperature?
Oh, about 38 degrees.
I would take 38 degrees instead. Like it's getting pretty high there. Like prefer like lower 30s, but.
Yeah. I'm my favorite time of year is the fall. I like a solid 20 degrees. That's my favorite. But we don't get it. It's funny, like in Canada,
in the real world.
Yeah. In Canada, spring it lasts about 2 weeks. We go like you could have negative 30 in March and then like plus 25 by April. It's some pretty insane temperature jumps.
That sounds like a good way to get sick.
Yeah, it's the springtime is that's usually when things get the worst. It, especially with as I get older, I've become more susceptible like to the change in pressure, like when it goes from extremes like 20 degree, like there was a time in April and May where, you know, I was waking up in the morning and it was like negative 5, but by the end of the day it was plus 20. So it was like a 25 degree change in temperature throughout the day, and it just killed my head. The pressure of that kind of temperature change in a single 24 hour span is just puts a lot of pressure on your brain. So
yeah, at least in-game worlds are generally a bit more climate controlled. Yeah. Do you ever play like summer themed games in like winter to try and feel warm?
Oh, I don't know. It's funny. I play Fortnite with my son a lot, and it's pretty funny. It has like four biomes now, so you can be running through snow, and then you can jump off a cliff into a jungle. So it's
well, that's not uncommon in like RPG worlds either, isn't it? That it yeah, you know, you go to jungle land, to lava land, to desert land, to snow land.
Oh yeah.
That's one thing. The game that I recently reviewed, Atelier Marie, the seasons change in that game too. And so, like, if it happens while you're like just travel to the spot, the sea, like, it'll pop up like that it's winter, and the map you just don't suddenly changes to full on snow and everything. And that actually affects the calendar, because it's all about time management, like, as the old Atelier games were. And this is literally the very first one, but another remake. I was looking it up and I was like, there was a PS2 version and stuff too, but this is the first time we're getting it playable in English officially. And yes, yeah, because, you know, the Atelier games are, you are an alchemist and you're creating items. And so in a lot of games, like this item creating and the gathering, it would take up time. And you usually have a time limit towards the ending of the game. And in this case, it's you're failing at school. So you've been given a 5-year exam to make an impressive item, which
5 years.
I know, right? That's pretty good. You're supposed to like run a shop, but you don't actually really do any shop running. Occasionally, people ask you for some stuff, like I guess, but it's mostly you're going to the tavern and filling out requests. You know,
yeah.
That's just the story setup. But yeah, it's all about time is money. Money is time. That's the main thing. It's not really. I mean, there's the combat and leveling and stuff, but my character was max level while my companions were not, because she also gets the levels from doing the alchemy. But yeah, one of the cool things was like the season changes visually, but it also changed. There was items, the more harder to get drops, and you would only get them in certain seasons, which is like semi-annoying because they'd be used for regular bombs and stuff. But yeah, 5 years, so it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But But yeah, it was like when I played the preview, I was kind of down on it because it was just like I was the time pressure felt so big. And like, you know, you pick up one item that might be three things, but you know, one gathering spot and it's the entire day. Whereas the only other Atelier game I played with a time limit, Aisha, it was like you could gather a few things and then it would be one day. Like, you know, be like part of the day clicked off. And like going back to the Atelier, if you've just gone out into town, you come back home, boom, that's a day passed. The traveling to and from takes up time as well as the individual gathering. And then you get warnings on the calendar that you're going to miss out on this event, which is good that it tells you. Because there's yearly events, like sometimes it's just a sale, which I kind of wish I held on to the sale for one of them. Because they're like, I bought, spent all this money at the academy to buy the stuff to make your new recipes and your alchemy faster. And they have like a full half price sale like every year. So it's just like, but yeah, because you don't, in like a lot of the Atelier games I'm used to, you have like a weird puzzle grid or like these chains to go through, and you don't have any of that. It's just making the item, and there's not even any traits like I'm used to, where your the items themselves will have extra bonuses and then that'll go into the items and further feed in. It's just simply you're making the item, and one bomb might need 20 bombs, and for that you need like a total of like 40 of these things. So it's just about the amount of time it takes up to get all of that. I finally know what the fairies, because there's like fairy statues in at least Rise of Two and maybe the other one, of these fairies from these games, and I never knew about them, and they're like your little helper guys that you can hire, which I said in my review, it reminds me, which I did on both RPG site and my YouTube page, you guy, that it reminds me of Friends of Mineral Town Harvest Sprites, or the Harvest Sprites in some of the other Story Seasons games, where you hire them to do some of your farm work. In this case, you hire them to craft a specific item or go gathering at a specific spot, and you pay them a monthly wage. So eventually, when money wasn't the problem, I hired a bunch of those guys, and that helped me work on some of the expensive items.
No, that's good.
So they could like sort of pay for themselves. Like, you know, this guy would go mine the rocks, this guy would make the sand, because like, it's bomb needed like three different ingredients, and then one of the ingredients was also like, use the fire sand as one of their three ingredients, but also one of the items that is with one of the three ingredients also uses fire sand, so I needed extra things like that. But yeah, they're just like these cute little guys, and they run around to your Atelier and trip over, and you pay them. You also have to pay your party members. So you can have two at a time, and you have to hire them a wage, which I think is just per trip, actually, or per days of the trip. It's not as much as I thought when I was last going through it again. But early on, you're like, ah, no money, but you sell a few expensive things that took you a month to make, and then it's it's okay. So there's a few different party members. I mostly stuck with the same two, just because I was going through this, and you get one bit of guideline, which is your midterm exams, and she says, you know, go out with four different party members, go to this many locations, whatever, and then that sort of gives you a guideline, but really it's quite hands off after the tutorial and stuff. So I wasn't sure about, like, when I tried to do the old speedrun tactic, I found out that they made the graduation item requirement a bit higher, so you couldn't just like make the easiest one of the easiest items and then go to sleep for the rest of the game and get the bare minimum ending. But, you know, I found out, okay, there's something else in the story I need to do that way, because, like, of the failure state. And I went around and, like, took out all the bosses. So I sort of focused on the combat, which is pretty basic. Like I said, you've got physical damage and magic damage, and there's sort of a grid-based system, so that's because some of the character's special attacks can... Yeah, so I kept one guy because he could hit the people that were in, like, a column, which was a lot better. And then I thought I'd, like, missed out, not been using something the whole time, but when I went back to an earlier save, I realised now it's just something she got at a higher level, where Marie finally gets some useful stuff, where, because anyone can use items in the party, if they're, like, you can keep the same thing equipped to everyone, and it's just going to take out from the pool, thankfully. But she can boost the items, so I had these bosses, And I just used the really expensive, hard to make bomb and boosted it, and I just throw down like 3 or 4 of those and boom, done. And like even mess with like one item, because that's, yeah, I guess if you're using it for yourself, that's basically what you need for this. Like also a time slate where I could stop them for a few turns, which is really useful because it was sort of, eventually my character was max rank, but my party companions weren't as much, so it was sort of like, yeah, stop them so they weren't going to die before the end of the match. Although that didn't actually matter because even if they fainted in the fight, they still got the XP, which is something I'm not used to in games. They should, yeah. No, they die. They don't get experience. Yeah,
they're toast.
And so, yeah, I ended up with like maximum reputation, knowledge, decent amount of money, which I ended up spending a fair bit of towards the end. So when I found out what Chaos in your game plus, I'm like, I'm going back to an earlier save because money is pretty much one of the only things that carries over. So I'm going to just save my money because I wasn't sure if there was anything at the end, but I'd, yeah, knocked out all the bosses. So it wasn't anything like that. I did definitely mess up because, you know, the Atelier games are also about spending time with your friends and I only had a couple friends. I didn't really develop the relationships closely. I sort of knew about, you know, my sick friend and how I should spend time with them, but I think she might have died off screen because it was like we'd gone to meet up a couple of times. She didn't show up, and then I never saw her again. So, and it wouldn't let me go to her house ever. And she's like, oh, there's no reason to go here. And I'm like, yes, there is. So I'll focus more on the friendships next time I play it, I think. I was a bit annoyed because at the end you get like these titles based on your progress and it's like it gave me hints for how to get them. And one of them is explore lots of this character. And I'm like, I did. I literally, like, so, I don't know. I didn't take it to one specific spot maybe. But yeah, it's my only complaint with the game was that I don't think it should be as much as it is because it's $50 American, $75 Australian. And like I beat the game in like 7 hours for one playthrough, and I'd obviously at least two. I don't think most people are going to do more than two unless they want to get all like the different endings and things. Like I got the big hero ending because I took out all the bad guys. But it's just like, you know, there's not really many flaws with it because it's a remake of, you know, a pretty basic game. It looks really pretty. That's why I didn't talk about how. It's because the original game had sort of little chibi pixel look, and then they've changed that into a 3D art style, and it looks really nice. Like I said, some of the environments are a little bit basic, but they've got like the nice lighting and detail in them still. And on the Switch, it wasn't too, going from PC preview to Switch wasn't too bad. I think it's just a bit blurrier because I had like blur around the edges. Maybe the aliasing's not quite as good, but not bad enough that I got used to it again. And yeah, like even on, like, I mean, it's a small game, so it should, but like there wasn't even hardly any loading time on Switch either. Like occasionally I'd step out and I'd see the loading screen for like a second, but mostly it was just like 3 seconds. It was like it ran like Rise of 3 did on the Switch, where I was like, wow, there's basically hardly any loading and I'm playing on the Switch. Like that's a, yeah. I'm not used to that. Yeah. But it's yeah, I did a video a few months back on like why Atelier is a crazy game series, I think. Aside from you've got some combat, but it's not, you know, like you just make a super big bomb.
Well,
yeah.
Well, and this is a remake of, like, this is the, I didn't realize this is the very first Atelier. Yeah. Like it's,
yeah.
Like, yeah, from 1997.
Yes. And yeah, so my, so I said, I didn't really think there was any flaws because like it ran good, it looked good. That I liked sort of the hands-off approach. I compared it also to Princess Maker in that there would be like an event like once a year and you had to like continually bump into this one character and then eventually, I think maybe eventually there could be a party member. I didn't do it enough times because I was too busy just trying to make money. I was on the grind. But things like that where it's like, and like I was told I was going to miss an eclipse for the first time and I was like, what? And then, yeah, there's, like, one item you can only get during the eclipse, so you have to, like, be home the day before and then head out towards the area in the one day for the eclipse to get that. But it's good. It's just a fun little, you're sort of relaxing eventually once you're not so stressed about money. No, there's one thing I didn't like about it, so it's one flaw, which apparently I think was in the original too because when I was checking the OST, it was saying, like, this song. And then like in the original as well, that have mini games. And most of them are sort of one and done. Like, for example, I make cheese and then the mouse stole my cheese. So then I had to try and catch this mouse within like 3 minutes in this little Pac-Man maze thing by moving some pots to make it hard for him to get out. And then after that, then I was able to buy the mouse trap, so that never happened again. And like if you have a fatigue system too, so sometimes I just had to sleep for like 2 weeks to bring my fatigue down because you couldn't make any more. But if I did let it build up, then there's a chance I had to do a mini game to finish, get all my items back. But the one time it really bothered me was I beat a boss and it gives you an item that like basically doesn't refresh. Like, you know, I think it's like a once off, unless maybe, because I saw it as a prompt on like the quest board. So I'm imagining if you did the quest for it and got it, then you like could go back and do it again. But like the boss never appeared back after I beat her. And you get a salmon, golden salmon, and then bears take it. So then I have to run around this little maze where there's several bears chasing me, and they're faster than if they see me at all. It's like I'm caught, like they're too fast. Opening treasure chests till hopefully I find the right one before time comes out. And I was like, I just did this boss fight and to get one thing, and now.
And they don't even let you keep it.
They weren't going to let me keep it if I didn't beat that, which was. So that's the one for that and the prize. But other than that, pretty good. Like, I can't complain about it being too basic or whatever, because I think that's fine, because it's all about the time and money management. I did have one time that I got really annoyed because the drop rate was just not, like, I wanted to make this item and I had plenty of time to do it, but the punies were just not dropping their balls. So I was like, what the hell? Like, I beat up so many and I didn't get any. It was just, but yeah, and it was good to just play something that's like not too hard. Although I always forget the Atelier games have difficulty modes because I beat the game and then it's like, you've unlocked very hard. And I'm like, there was a hard? Because I think, because it doesn't prompt you when you start the game. It's like you just change it in settings. So I always forget that that's an option, because it's like maybe I could try playing it on hard or something.
Yeah, it's always a tough thing with like any RPGs for me, is like, I always just naturally play the default setting. But then there's like some of these series, I've been playing them so much where it's like, I really should just start with hard. Cause
yeah, there's a few where I'm like, oh, maybe I should try on hard. And I try on hard and I'm like, no. Although for example, with Persona 5 Royal version, it's like hard is actually harder than the hardest difficulty.
Oh, really?
Cause I don't know what the hard one's called, if it's Merciless or something. But, like, in that one, the technical damage is, like, 3 times the amount. So a lot of people actually crank up, I think we talked about it in our spoiler cast, but they crank up the difficulty for the one-timed boss fight so that they can, like, damage him down faster. So they literally max difficulty the game to make it easier. Whereas you don't have that bonus in hard, so hard's actually technically more difficult.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's... It kind of depends, because like some of them, you know, hard is just, or like the harder difficulty is just like, oh, well, we'll just add HP to the enemies or something. So it's like, well, are you actually making it more difficult, or are you just padding the time because the enemies become sponges now, or that's whatever? Like,
yeah, sometimes like, oh, maybe I should, and then I'll get to like a boss fight where I'm like, no, I'm good. But yeah, sometimes like it's just like such a breeze for a while, so you're like, you know, if it's one of the ones, unless you change the difficulty partway, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I've been struggling with that with Final Fantasy 16, where it's like, because they have like the story mode, and then I don't even remember what the other one's called.
Adventure or something.
Yeah,
I think it's like. One, even in the other mode, the adventure mode, you can put on the accessories, which basically is what the easy mode is. It's just the,
yeah.
So you still have the option to then lower it.
Yeah, and but I'm just like, all it really is doing is just making the battles longer to me. Like, it's, I don't know if it's necessarily making it, I mean, it's a bit harder because you got to time things better and stuff, but it's like, I don't know, is it even worth, you know, I ended up putting it back to story and just kind of playing it through that way right now, because it's like, you know, I'd rather just get through the, because like the big scenes and the big boss fights take so much time on the, like, already, where it's like, you know what, it takes about half an hour to get through this boss, so I just want to add 15 minutes of fighting, like, or should, you know, do I just want to move on? So that, yeah, that's always where the difficulty stuff with me lies. I think when I get into Trails into Reverie, I might start this one at the hardest difficulty, just because it's like, I've played enough of those to know it's like, you know, it might be a little too easy on the lower difficulties. But
my trick is, depending on how many options there are, if there's more than two options, basically, if pick the one just above easy, because then if it's too hard, you can go down to easy.
Yeah,
but if easy's too hard.
I definitely appreciate the ones that let you at least change on the fly, because that would be the worst, where it's like you choose a bit harder, higher up, only to get like thumped later in the game and then realize like you can't go back or something. Like that's...
Oh, there's one game I played, Agents of Mayhem, where it like auto increases the difficulty in these little increments. It's just HP sponging everything.
Yeah.
But like, why are these guys taking so much longer to kill? And then it's because it's jacked me up like three or four levels on the difficulty.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't like dying, so. I'm like, oh, put it back down.
Yeah. No, I appreciate. Just let me choose. I understand to a certain degree, but just you know, don't take that freedom away from me.
Or the games where there is no options and it is just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even took out the time limit option in Atelier Marie, which, like, again, I had an entire year where I was just like, oh, what do I do now? I beat the boss and, like, the secret version of him. You know? And there was only one item I couldn't figure out how to make, which I've, like, learned is, like, because I needed to make friends with another character, really. Like, develop his thing. Out of what was shown in my recipe books. But, yeah, I don't think... It also said that some events won't show, which like is just vague. So I want to know, like, what do you miss out on if you have the no time limit option? Like, does it not give you the ending?
Yeah, it'd be interesting. So you said you played the preview on PC, but the full game on Switch?
Yeah.
Okay.
I ended up just requesting a Switch version as well, just because, like, it wasn't when I played, I don't know about now, but when I played the preview build, which was like they had only the first year ready, and if you tried to play more, it wouldn't really work. I don't know how it worked, but because I didn't try. But it did not run good on Steam Deck at all. It was like the image was like moving or something. I don't know how you explain it, but it was just like kind of slightly bouncing, and I was like, I'm immediately...
Oh, that's weird.
On the preview build, it wasn't, so you'd have to look up now if it's working on Steam Deck first, because I didn't play it on that. Because I was like, yeah, I'll play it on the Steam Deck. That'll be finally to use my thing, because, you know, I can sit in the lounge room and play it. But no, I wasn't working on that, so I ended up with the Switch version, because then I can play on the TV. Because I just, since I had the kid, I live in the lounge room and not in my computer room. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm on the Steam page and there's no, they don't even have it at the Steam Deck. Like, it's, there's no, there's definitely no verified, and they don't even say.
Oh, I would say don't get it for Steam Deck.
Yeah, that's weird. I thought Koei Tecmo would have been a big enough company that they would have ensured that the Steam Deck, like, it works on Steam Deck.
I don't know. How is it in Japan sales-wise? Like, do they sell it?
$65! Holy moly.
Yeah, I know. I was saying, like, it's just overpriced. Like, it's fun, but it's a short game. Like, the most you're going to get out is maybe, like, 20 hours, right?
It'll probably be on sale eventually, I would think.
They're doing a better job of putting the Atelier games on sale. But it's just, like, I don't know what they're thinking with the pricing. It just doesn't make, you know, especially it's barely cheaper than, like, Atelier Riser 3. So, I don't get how all these games that are clearly small scope or sort of mid-range scope aren't being priced.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's probably because of it. It's the first game in the Atelier where they think, like, okay, we're going to stick it to the diehards.
There's the deluxe edition that comes with the plus version of the original game and some other stuff, and then that makes it cost even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. It's like, how does this, how do you, like, you get more money out of this, like, low sales but high number versus possibly better sales but lower number? I guess it must work because they choose, yeah. Well, you find out if it goes on sale or not. That's my favorite thing. I think when a game has been out for a while and it didn't have a demo and then it gets a demo and I'm like, you know, that means that the game didn't sell well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So like, well, oh, we need to build a demo suddenly.
It's one of those things too that it could, it depends when the sales start. Like, you look at Ubisoft, like,
oh yeah,
you know, they used to you wait 3 weeks, you get 50% off sale, like, so it must have been working for them for a while, you know, but then it, I think it backfired when people realized what the scam was, you know.
Yeah, I'm normally like a launch day kind of person, unless, you know, just too much stuff coming out at once. But there are some games, like, yeah, with the Rabbids game, I was like, I didn't even finish the first one. I'm going to wait. And now it's already so cheap.
Yeah, well, the first Rabbids game was, I remember it being on sale. It couldn't have been a month, and it was already, like, 25% off, which was pretty rare for a game with, like, Mario in it. I get it's an Ubisoft game, but still, you don't see that. And then, like, a month later, it was almost 80% off. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, it's just, but yeah, now people are like used to the Ubisoft games being on sale, so they don't pick them up. They shot themselves in the foot. I had that experience. I worked, I did like this calendar shop thing under this company that does it every year, and they just get different people to do it each year. And everyone in my town was waiting for Boxing Day because all the calendars go half off.
Yeah.
Like, why would they pay full price when they know for sure it's going to be half price?
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, probably before I had kids, when I had more time to do it, where we just stopped spending as much money on Christmas because it's like all the things we want are going to be like on huge sale on Boxing Day. So it's like, don't buy me anything from Best Buy. We'll just go there on Boxing Day. But one game that I'm playing now that won't be going on sale anytime soon, I don't imagine, is Final Fantasy 16. I'm not really going to get into it too much just because we're going to have a full episode eventually.
The other two people haven't started it yet.
I know you guys are still working on finishing up Zelda. So yeah. It's one of those timing things where it's like you get a few big games in a row. And then, Jordan hasn't started playing. I don't even think he's bought it yet because he's been playing Diablo 4, so pretty surprised I'm the only one playing it. But
yeah,
it's incredible. It's not exactly, it's a little different than I thought it would be. It's definitely more of a scripted story. It's funny because it feels very PlayStation to me. Like it's not surprising that PlayStation had some input and provided some assistance to Square on like how to really maximize the PS5's capabilities, because like all the boss battles are incredible. Like, you know, I remember seeing all these videos of like icon battles and you're looking at it thinking like it's pretty amazing. But when you're actually in it and controlling Ifrit and doing these insane things, like it's just like, and each battle is just crazier than the last, where you think like, okay, like how are they going to top this? Like this was I don't want to get into too many because the spoilers and stuff, but like everyone knows Titan's in the game and the Titan boss battle is wild. And I'm thinking, okay, this is pretty incredible. There's no way they can beat this. And then later on I'm fighting Bahamut and I'm like, okay, now my mind is blown. And I'm like looking at my PlayStation thinking like at some point this thing's going to catch on fire because there's just too much going on. Like it's incredible. But it's funny, the it's almost the experience feeling was a very similar one I had to when I played The Last of Us 2, where it's like it's very action, like it's an action based, and it's there is open world to it, but it's very path, like it's like this is, it's very clear that it's like this is where we want you to go. We want you to go here and then go here and then see this cutscene and then go here and see this cutscene. So it's a very, very like, you know, single player, you know, fight some enemies, get a cutscene, fight some enemies, get a cutscene. But I really enjoy it. It feels very much Final Fantasy. I think Clive as a protagonist is one of the stronger ones in the series. Jill as you know, the companion is you know, one of my more favorite ones, like definitely going up the list. I haven't seen enough, like the villain has been introduced, but I'm not far enough into the game yet to really have an opinion on where the villain lies in like the, you know, the mainline Final Fantasies. But yeah, it's much different than I thought it would be, and having a lot of fun with it. I guess it's also kind of reminds me of the experience of Tales of Arise in the same sort of way, where it's like there's a clear, Tales of Arise was sort of open world in the sense, but it's like there's still a path that you're walking and you're not really backtracking per se.
Definitely different from 15.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was funny. I was actually reading up on 15, like the story and stuff, because I was trying to kind of get a comparison of the two, because I don't remember too much of it. I remember like the first, I don't know, I think maybe half of the game. Or I
remember that they finished it in the DLC.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. I remember them. The last quarter of the game or so was like just literally a hallway to the end. So it was remembering that, and then it's like, yeah, it's a much bit different experience. Combat is way different. But yeah, I would say like if you played Tales of Arise, this feels a lot like that to a certain extent. There's no, you're only ever controlling Clive, so it's a bit different in like that, the whole party makeup. And then like in Final Fantasy 15, you could switch between party members on the fly during a fight too, so it's definitely specific to a different experience when you're only fighting as Clive, even though you can kind of flip through different ability. Like, again, it's not really spoiler because it was in the demo, but like you get powers of other icons, so you can flip. You always have like three icons that you can equip so that you can use like wind attacks and fire attacks and electricity attacks or something, like depending on who's equipped or whatever. So it does, you still get that variety of fighting styles and stuff. The skill tree has been a little odd because each time you unlock an icon, there's like a circle in the skill tree, and there's like different abilities that you can choose or unlock or upgrade or whatever. And I found myself basically hoarding all the skill points until I've unlocked an icon. And then each icon has like a signature move that has to be unlocked that pretty much uses all of the skill points that I've acquired up until that point. But the signature move is so powerful that I'm like, you know what? Screw all these other all these other attacks. I just want the big ones, like the Phoenix's kind of signature move is like these wings spread out of Clive and basically burn everyone on the screen. And I've just been upgrading it to the point where there's some battles where I literally just have to walk in, use that, and the battle's over because it just one shots the entire screen. And I'm like, this is, you know, it kind of dumbs it down a little bit. But
you're playing on baby mode, aren't you?
It feels like baby mode when I can just do that. And then it's getting like I just recently unlocked Bahamut, and the Mega Flare is the signature move. And again, it's kind of similar where like it's almost like Meteor, where these like things are coming from the sky, dropping on enemies. So it's like, now I get to the point where it's like, okay, this battle starts. So I use the Phoenix fire wave, and it knocks off the first wave. And then the second wave of enemies come, and then I use Mega Flare, and then it's like, okay, we're all set. Let's move on. So it's, I'll probably have to go back up to adventure mode, just to just so it's not too easy going forward. Because now these signature moves are just they're definitely making things easy for me.
Yeah. I just started too many games. I was like, I'm totally gonna beat it before Final Fantasy, like Zelda. I got to Burger Chip, but I guess got some. No, I don't wanna. I was like so close to the end. And then I started. I got Atelier Marie. I started Ghost Trick on the DS. Because that the HD version came out, and like I want to play it on TV, but like I don't want to pay $45 for it when I already have the original game.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I was going to say the original game is expensive if you're unless you already own it.
So. That's like probably my like best get. And I didn't even like I knew I'd heard good things about it and that it was like expensive, but like I got it for $6.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, back when the video game stores had their trade-ins, and necessarily look up the eBay prices for things, trying to get rid of them.
Oh, that works well.
So I think that's probably out of, you know, the buy-to-value thing. But on the DS version, you can still use the button controls. You don't have to use a touchscreen. But then I got up to a stealth part, which has really annoyed me. Apparently, I watched a review, though, and I think that might be the only part. So if I get past it, I can get back into the game, you know, get past that part and then just enjoy it myself. Then, yeah, a remake of one of my favorite games came out. Story Seasons, A Wonderful Life. Then I ended up picking up Pikmin 1 on the Switch. Even though I told myself I was waiting for the September physical because I already have it on the GameCube. Although learning some things, I'm like, oh, at least I guess it's kind of a good thing I can't play the game, like the GameCube on my TV because this going from like 4 to 1 is like, oh my god. The Pikmin are very dumb. Oh my god. They cannot walk around edges at all. They will walk into water quite easily.
The AI wasn't as they couldn't do as much coding back then.
And the switching between them is hard, and it's better than the GameCube version because in the GameCube version you'd actually have to walk up to the one you want for the right color. So yeah, it's a bit of a when I've been playing a bit of 3 and the demo of 4. Yeah, I played the demo like twice. It's just a bit of an adjustment. I think that's everything that I've really started recently. Obviously, there's stuff I started earlier in the year and then put down as well. Because like, I put down the Bayonetta Origins game to play Rise of 3 review, and then I'm like, oh, I need to go back into that.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I finish Zelda, I need to finish Age of Calamity because I had 3 levels of that and I didn't finish that before Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because there's always that July summer sale on Steam, and so I'm always going through stuff. And usually, what happens more now than ever is that I find out that there's a bunch of games I'd already owned that I forgot I owned. I was going through. I actually picked up one game, Dragon's Dogma from Capcom. It's like a PS2 or PS3 actually, sorry, PS3 Xbox 360 game from 2012. I think it's kind of like a Capcom version of Skyrim to a certain extent. That's on 85% off, so I got it for $6 today. But I was looking at other sales and reminded myself that I had purchased Dungeon Encounters but still haven't played it. I also picked up I have had Death Stranding for a while that I forgot I owned already. Just a few funny games like that. And then there was a couple indie games that I ended up picking up. I'm trying to remember the names now.
I've only spent like not even $10 on this, but I did pick up something. Even though one thing's tempting, because like I'm waiting for Switch ports for something, but they haven't been announced. Like there's a couple of games where I nearly got them, and they're like, oh, I found out there's going to be a Switch version, so I'll wait. Or there's one game I recently found, and it's like, oh, it's not even on sale at all, even though it's a 3-year-old game. Like it's weird. It's not on the summer sale. It's so weird. Normally, it's like a new game. It's not on sale.
I meant to look up or pick up the. There's that. Oh, I'm trying to think what it's. It's that mech game. That's it. Square Enix was the original publisher, but it was
Front Mission.
That's it. Yeah, Front Mission 1. I meant to pick up Front Mission 1, and then I guess 2 is like supposed to be released anytime now, but hasn't come out. I guess.
Yeah, they've got different team deal. I got that game for free.
Oh, for
yeah, it's like they had Australian codes on, like, oh, we hid these codes in this trailer.
That's good.
You know, Australian codes means the grabbing is a lot less because not many people are going to make an Australian Switch account. To...
Oh, and I picked up Wasteland 3 on Steam because it was $8.
But Steam, I think, this way because it's like Windows screen looking type game with cheap. And at some point, but I'm sorry, we're cheap. And I did get Dredge on the Switch though. Like it got another reprint physically, like, and it was like the Switch tax on it was crazy because I only found out about it a few weeks after it was out, and I was like, ah, because I could have pre-ordered it. But normally, say a Switch physical on Switch just costs more. Other game can cost a fair bit more anyway. But like the Switch physical costs $20 more than the other physicals.
Oh,
and tax is $10. So I kept going, but then it was on sale for like $30, and I was just like, yep, I'll just get it. I had a bunch of gold points, like a lot of gold points that had been sitting on for ages, didn't know what to get, and I just spent that on Dredge, so it was a free game for me.
Oh, that's good.
So I've been wanting to play it for ages. I could play the demo, and it runs good on Switch, and it looks good on Switch, and yeah, so I'm just playing like a little bit of, sort of like flitting between playing a few days of the Story Seasons game and a few days of the fishing game when I can't really decide what to play, which is how I've been the last few days. Now that I've finished Marie, I'm just like, what do I actually want to do?
Yeah.
But I got that with the gold points, and that was on sale. And I recommend that one too. It's like a semi-cozy fishing game, but it's also got a very spooky atmosphere and some strange things going on. So
I've seen that. I saw a lot of advertisements for that one, actually. So I've seen a lot of push. I was getting a lot of emails about it.
I didn't see it until after it was out. I just picked it up and got the physical. But, like, yeah, I sort of have some preference for the physical, but it depends on the pricing, really. Or, like, that it come out 2 months later. So, like, Front Mission got a physical Switch release more recently than just, like, in retail in Australia. Or, I mean, now having a baby, it's like, the digital means I can just switch the game without having to get up if I'm stuck underneath a baby that's sleeping.
Yeah.
So there is a slight preference for it more now.
I really wish there was some kind of way that, I know it's not possible just because, like, I was thinking, like, you buy the physical and then they give you access to the digital version, but I mean, all that would do is... I feel like... It would be like, because it would just be a game to give away to a friend at that point, I'm sure what the publisher is concerned. I feel
like it was like when it was like PS3, Vita, 4 era, sometimes you'd buy a game. And then it was like another game that I really wanted to buy, and I was waiting for the Switch release, and then apparently it doesn't run good on Switch, and I'm trying to see if the new patch has fixed it, but I can't really get an answer. So I'll just wait, because I'll see it into cassette piece. But...
Oh.
And it's always funny when it's a game that doesn't look like it should have a problem. And then, I mean, that's an indie game. So, you know, obviously it's just a bit harder. But it was very funny because I was like, oh, visually, like, Riser 3 was a downgrade. Like, going from, like, 2 to 3 on different consoles, it was definitely a big visual downgrade. But, like, performance-wise and loading time, it was, like, same, like, hardly any. First, like, 3 seconds, just nothing when you're playing on the Switch. But then, yeah, some of these indie games are just like, some of these ports are just like,
I'd imagine for indies it's like they're probably programming for Steam, and then you know, when they want to do another version, that's when things start to fall apart, when they're trying to like port things over to the Switch.
Yeah, because it was like a few weeks after the
PC. Yeah, well, it's even funny because I'm in the Sea of Stars Kickstarter, and for the longest time they weren't going to do an Xbox version, and then just lately they're like, oh well, here it is. And I think it's one of those, like, I think they needed to get a certain amount of money to make the investment to even try to do the Xbox, and I think it just ended up working out easier than they thought it would. So good for them for being able to do that. I'm sure there's a few Xbox fans that will be happy that they'll be able to get an Xbox version. But
oh, that's what I need to try. There's something that kept getting advertised at, like, the Game Awards or something. And I was like, because the Samsung smart TVs, they can play Game Pass games. So I want to see I want to see how it works on my internet, because I'm in Australia, so cloud gaming is just, well, not really an option. Like, they just won't sell it to us because, like, they know our internet's just that bad that it's not going
to,
they're not going to get the refund. We want to do all the refunds. But I did want to try it to just see, because then that, yeah, I don't, I was, that could save me kind of a bit of money, because, like, you know, most just the indie games where it's like 30, 40 bucks, and then it's like, or Game Pass.
Well, if you wanted to, if you wanted to give Starfield a try, you could give, you could play that for, I'm sure the, they'll have Xbox have a Game Pass, you know, half off Game Pass for a month or something that you can play for 10, stream it on your Samsung TV for 15 bucks or whatever.
But yeah, I don't know how well it'll actually work, but I do need to try it. That might save me, because I think that might be one of the games I was talking about might be on Game Pass too, so that might ensure I can actually, might run better that way.
Yeah, I don't have Game Pass anymore, but when I did have it, I streamed a few and it worked decent enough. Like, especially if you're playing something like an RPG with like turn-based, just it,
yeah,
where you're not really relying on lag or delays or whatever, then it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's like just I normally don't consider all my games to be my backlog because that's too much. But I normally, like, if I've started a game and I intend to like go through with it. But like the amount of games I started this year, I was like,
yeah,
never go back. Like this month, it was like really this big list, and then there's like some I had to put down. Like I didn't start Ishin hardly at all, and then like the Bayonetta Origins. Technically, I didn't finish the Fire Emblem DLC because I didn't finish the last battle.
Oh yeah,
I restarted it, and I was like, oh, I'll do that later.
Yeah, it's really easy to, like, when you put a game down, just to forget that it, yeah, you know, forget its existence.
And then I have the list of like other games that, out of all that I've got, I kind of want to get back into, because, like, you know, I got 3/4 through the game or something.
Yeah.
Or just want to get back into the series, like, you know, I've nearly finished Age of Calamity, so I want to try out some more of those Warriors spin-offs, like Persona 5 Strikers, and Dragon Quest Heroes 2 also, like, is one of the ones where they've done things differently. And then I was partway through the Fire Emblem Three Hopes, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, playing that a bit more single player, because I normally like to play those co-op, but you didn't want to play co-op with me in these, the new two Switch ones, and you can't in Persona 5 Strikers. It's, I'm in a paralysis of, like, yeah, like I said, I've got about 5-ish games I'm playing, and I'm like, I don't really know what I'm going to play. But two of them are kind of chillish, so then I'm kind of like, well, I can just do a day or two in this game.
Yeah. Something. I know there's a bunch of Square Enix games came to the PS Plus, whatever that, I'm pretty sure, whatever the PS Plus, like the medium where you get like free games every month or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they added it to the like ton of Square games. Like I downloaded all the Kingdom Hearts, and there was a bunch of like PS3 and PS4 era games that they stuck in there that I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to playing all these. And now, you know, I'll play the best versions of them for free, and then haven't turned on a single one of them. So,
And then, you know, I won that copy of Octopath Traveler 2, and everyone keeps talking about how good that is.
Yeah.
Like, I keep hearing about it. Like, other people have started, you know, finally playing their copies or whatever. So, I don't know. That'll be definitely a post-Final Fantasy 16. Yeah. I actually, I got my Instagram memories, like, 5 years ago. I made the terrible purchasing decision of getting the Octopath Traveler 1 Special Edition.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's just my pickups from the day, and it's like massive. It's like Octopath Traveler 2, the Special Edition, Amiibos, Shining Resonance Refrain, and Captain Toad on Switch. It was just like, that would have been an expensive day.
Yeah.
And then I've only kept like two of those things.
Oh, really?
I mean, I did sell the Collector's Edition, but.
Yeah.
That was kind of sad, though, because like, it was like this cool pop-up book, and it was like one page for each character, and it looked pretty cool, but quality wise it wasn't that good. And like, I'd opened it up and there's already a couple pieces of like of the paper that sort of peeled.
Yeah, so I guess the big question is, do you still have your Ifrit and Phoenix statue?
Yes. I still need to tidy up the place I want to actually keep it, but for now it's sitting next to some other figures in the lounge room in the part where they're being.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's a few things that could be.
I need to play the game myself first before I decide not to keep But no, it looks so much better in person. Because, like, the pictures were like, oh, I don't know, like, if I'm going to like it, because it's kind of, like, translucent bits. But, like, no, in person, in the light with, like, the sun or, like, you know, lighting on it, just looks really nice, all the colors and everything coming into each other.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I won't spoil anything, but I think when you play the game, you'll have a different feeling about that statue than you do now after just the demo.
I saw Brock play a bit where I'm like, yeah, that's... I was kind of expecting it based on one of the characters being what they are, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't very surprised. Man, yeah. I have this giant box I've got to figure out where to put. That's like, I don't keep my, like, figure boxes, but the collector's edition boxes I normally keep because it's got at least half the stuff in it. And I was just like, oh dear. Maybe I need to figure out which ones I don't want to keep and...
Cool. Well, I think that's probably a good place to end our discussion for this episode. Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of backlog episodes that we could always do because the, you know, we just keep buying and buying and buying. And...
Yeah, we do. I mean, we could pick a shorter game. I mean, we're supposed to play Shadows Overloading and we didn't, so...
Yeah, that's right.
And that could have Switch port by the time and I'm like, all right, I'll just buy it on Switch again. but yeah, I think maybe we'll do Final Fantasy 16 in about a month. Like,
yeah,
me and Casey might start it next week. I don't know when Zelda spoiler cast will be because I'm like close to the end. I just need the incentive to finish it. Whereas like other people are more like halfway, but you could kind of do that in a week or two. Like get story beats done in a day, depending how much time you got. It's like how much extra you want to do, you know?
Yeah, I don't think Jordan's finished that either.
No. And then, I don't know, is anyone else getting Pikmin 4? We were making jokes about it being an RPG now because you get, like, upgrades and equipment and stuff. Oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty sure Jordan and Casey are. It seems like games that they enjoy, so I'm pretty sure they're going to get them.
Yeah, I'll just have to rope them into doing their not job of this podcast.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys will find an RPG angle to talk about.
Yeah. Well, the entire thing will be arguing that it is an RPG. That's what
it will be. Yeah. Yeah, so you had mentioned it, I think, at the beginning of the pod, but make sure to check out your Atelier Marie review on, if you want to see the video version, you can go to Paige's YouTube channel, Paige G Guy, or the written version is at RPG site. And to get the links to those, you could go to her Twitter account at PageGGuy. And I saw the, I think today's, it was today that you put the links up, I think. It's all a blur to me these days.
The embargo went up like 8 p.m. my time, which was good. I didn't have to stay up for it for once.
Oh, that's good.
It's like just, it's out today now where I am. Digital only or import.
Cool. Yeah, so I guess we'll see where the wind takes us in the coming weeks. No shortage of things to play, so there'll be lots to talk about eventually. But I guess until the next episode, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you soon.